Ruth chapter 2. Our short sermon series is entitled Gleanings from the Book of Ruth. And 2 weeks ago, the first message was called Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi. We were introduced to two widows. An Israelite widow named Naomi, who had left Israel with her husband and moved to Moab, where her two sons had married Moabite women, including a woman named Ruth. But all of the men in Naomi's life died, leaving three destitute widows in a land plagued by famine. Naomi decided to go home to Israel, hearing there was food there again, and she left one of her daughters-in-law behind. But her daughter-in-law, Ruth, tenaciously stuck with Naomi and returned with her to Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. Remarkably, Ruth resolutely declared that she would stick with Naomi no matter what and put her trust in the God of Israel. Naomi, impoverished by her losses, returned empty and somewhat bitter to Israel. But she has Ruth with her and all of Ruth's unyielding loving kindness to her. And that's where we left off. Sound familiar? Of course, most of us know this story and know what's going to happen next, but again, try to pretend that you don't. It's one of the best ways to read a Bible story. Here are two women who are in a most precarious position. They have just about nothing, but they have the Lord. Let's pray together and then see what He does for them. Majesty. Worship His Majesty. You are so glorious and so holy. You are perfect in every way. Everything about You is majestic. And You deserve to be worshipped just for who You are, but also for what You've done. You created everything. So when we go out on a fine fall day and see the leaves starting to change, we know that's You. And we can look at that and say how amazing the Creator must be and worship You. But more than just creating, You redeem. You buy back for Yourself a people for Yourself. That's what Jesus did for us. He won for us the victory. And we're going to sing about that victory forever. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want Him to get the glory as we read Your holy word. This book tucked away in our Old Testament, four little chapters, but full so much of Your sweetness, Your goodness, and Your chesed, Your grace. We pray in the powerful name of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Ruth chapter 2. Do you have it? Verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. So last week's message was Ruth and Naomi. This week's message, Ruth and Boaz. Verse 1 introduces a new character in the story, a man. We don't know much about him yet, but we do know some important things. We know that he was related in some way, fairly distant it appears, to Naomi's deceased husband. And he is a man worth knowing. He is a man, the NIV says, of standing. What will this man do in this story? Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Now stop there for just a second. This Ruth has pluck. She and Naomi are in a desperate situation, and she tries a desperate plan. She proposes to go out to the fields that are harvesting the barley and pick up what the hired workers don't glean. So she's not becoming a farmhand. She's just going to go out and pick up what the workers for the farm hands, the men and women, don't pick up. And Naomi lets her do this. Now, this practice of gleaning was included in the law of Moses, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 24. It was part of God's safety net for taking care of the poor people in Israel. Landowners were supposed to leave the corners of their fields unharvested so that the poor could find something to eat. One thing that's great about this welfare arrangement is that the poor still have to do some work to qualify for the help. In fact, it was hard work, outdoors, in the sun. And it was dangerous work for single women who could be taken advantage of. And even though it was in the law, that doesn't mean that the landowners always followed it. This was the time of the judges, remember? But Ruth has the courage to go out to the field and begin gleaning at the edges. And verse 3 says that she just so happened to find herself working in a field that belonged to no other than Boaz. Now you and I know that nothing just so happens. Our God is sovereign, and He lovingly orchestrates all of the tiny details of our lives. The Hebrew here for "as it turned out" in your NIV could literally be translated "it chanced to chance," which is the author's way of winking at us that all of what we perceive in life as random is sovereignly chosen for us by the Lord. So the last week you just had, and the things that happened to you, sovereignly chosen by the Lord. Now, do we always know what God is up to as He puts together our days for us? No way. Often we have no idea what He's up to. But we know that God is in charge. And if we know who God is, we know that He's up to something good for us, no matter how it seems. So when Ruth got up that morning and went out to work in the fields, she had no idea what was coming. But she was beginning to know who God was, and she could know that God was up to something good. Do you need to hear that this morning? It's true. Ruth didn't know, however, how important it was for her that she found herself in this place on this day. Because behold, look who happens to show up. Verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Now stop there for just a second. I love this verse. That's one of my favorite verses in the book of Ruth. I think it's an amazing verse. Now, I know that this was a special person in a special land among a special people. But wouldn't it be great if all of our businesses functioned like Boaz's farms? You would have loved working at Boaz Farms, you know, Pepperidge Farms. This is Boaz Farms. The boss shows up, and the first thing he says to the workers is, "Bless you. The Lord bless you." And the workers, they don't say, "Oh yeah, there he goes again." The workers have joy on their faces as they bless the boss back. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you." I think that Boaz was a great example of what a godly business person ought to be. And remember, this is during the time of the judges. Nearly everyone is doing what seemed right in their own eyes. But this tells us that there were still a few people who were doing the right thing, no matter what other people were doing. They didn't just go along with the flow. They did things God's way. And God blessed them in the time of the judges. Boaz was a man of standing and a man of blessing, a man of character and a man of compassion. Only 2 points this morning, and this is number one, compassion. Verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. And don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Now this is quite extraordinary. Boaz notices Ruth. She stands out. She's different. Who is that? The foreman explains who she is. Her reputation precedes her. And she's worked hard this day. So Boaz speaks to her. And he's very generous with her. He calls her my daughter, which is something for an Israelite man to say to a Moabite foreigner. It might also hint at a large age difference between the two of them. And Boaz instructs her to stick around, to stay close to his own worker girls, and to get drinks from the company water jars. And more than that, he's warned his men not to harass her, or else. Boaz shows compassion to Ruth. Now, was there attraction between these two people? It doesn't say. The Bible emphasizes how compassionate Boaz is to Ruth. He's doing what the law said to do, and he's going beyond that. He's showing some chesed to her, isn't he? Remember we learned about chesed 2 weeks ago? Kindness beyond duty, compassion, grace. And Ruth knows it. Ruth knows that he's being compassionate. See how she reacts in verse 10. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." What a beautiful statement. Ruth is flabbergasted by Boaz's compassion, but Boaz just sees it as showing the Lord's kindness to someone who has been showing the Lord's kindness. Boaz has already heard about Ruth. Oh, so this is the woman that everyone in Bethlehem is talking about. You left your homeland and came to trust in the Lord. You're taking care of Naomi. I've heard about you. The Lord will take care of you. I love how he says that in verse 12. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Ruth, you've been a little chick. Come under the refuge of the Lord's sheltering wing. That's a great picture of the compassion of the Lord. Why did the Lord put the gleaning laws into the Torah? Because he cares about the poor. Do we care about the poor? God cares about people. And God is trustworthy. He's big and holy and powerful and safe. He is a refuge for those who come to Him to hide under His wing. That's a beautiful picture of what salvation is. We tend to talk about salvation as forgiveness from sins. And it is. Praise the Lord, it is. But salvation is also just putting ourselves under the wing of the Almighty, entrusting ourselves to His care. Do you know the compassion of the Lord? Have you taken refuge under His wing? It's safe there. If you've not come under His wing as Ruth did, I invite you to do so right now. The world is a harsh place with danger on every side, and it's even worse if you make God your enemy. But Jesus has become our peace, reconciling God and man and inviting us to take our place under the wing of the Almighty. He is our refuge and strength if we will place ourselves under His compassion. A few minutes ago I read to you Psalm 103, where the psalmist echoes what God said to Moses at the cleft of the rock, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He's our refuge and strength if we'll place ourselves under His compassion. And if we've truly experienced His compassion, we will then show it to others. Ruth showed it to Naomi. Boaz shows it to Ruth. And he said, verse 12, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." Verse 13. "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. When was the last time she got a square meal like that? As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Guys, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. That's between 35 and 50 pounds. She had a haul to take home to Naomi. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she'd eaten enough. Naomi's jaw is on the floor. Her mother-in-law asked her, Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness, his chesed, to the living and the dead. She added, That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, He even said to me, Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Friends, that's compassion. Boaz shows her incredible generosity. He feeds her. He doesn't have to do that. She's not signed up to be one of his servant girls. He gets nothing out of what he gives her. He tells his crew to leave extra for her to pick up. It amounts to more than 35 pounds. It's more than she needs. It's more than Naomi needs for the immediate day. They can live for 2 more months and longer. They're now out of immediate danger because of the compassion of Boaz, because of his chesed. Verse 20, Naomi says, He has not stopped showing his loving kindness to the living and the dead. That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Now we'll find out what that means, a kinsman redeemer, next week. The point here is that Boaz has been kind to his distant relatives. He didn't have to do any of this. And he has shown the compassion of the Lord to those who need it most. And so the story in chapter 2 forces us to ask ourselves today, are you and I compassionate? Are we generous to those who have needs? Who do we show chesed to? Who do we show our kindness beyond duty to? I know that many of you are very compassionate. Just what we've seen this year at church in extra giving to missions has shown that. 6 Haitian children going to Enoch's school. Our 10 missionary families getting a $250 Christmas gift. I don't remember ever giving a Christmas gift that big. $1,000 donated to Emily Whitehead's ongoing medical needs. And that's just financial compassion. Sometimes that's the easiest one, just to give. But I know that many of you are engaged in tangible, practical acts of kindness. You're giving your time, your talents, your treasures, yourself, to others. We have been shown the compassion of the Lord. We need to show it to others. How might the Lord be leading you and me to greater acts of compassion in the next week? Now in chapter 3, the word of application I want to emphasize is character. Character. We've already seen that Boaz is a man of true character, that is, that he is an upstanding man who does what is right and good. You don't have workers that say, the Lord bless you back, if you aren't. He has a good heart, and it shows in his choices. And then those choices speak for themselves in his good reputation. Your character is the sum of your virtuous qualities. It is who you really are when no one is watching. It's a description of your heart and is reflected in your choices. A man or woman with good character consistently chooses what is right and good. They can be trusted and they are valuable in the Lord's sight. Character. Now about 2 months have gone by because they're now near the end of the barley harvest. And Naomi gets a wild idea into her head. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. And then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. Now, I think this is a crazy plan. Okay? This is a crazy plan. There are so many ways that this could go wrong. Naomi is acting like Yenta the matchmaker, and she has a crazy plan to do it. I should have read those last verses in a Jewish grandmother voice for you. Let's see here. Get dressed up and go sneak into the place where the men are. And after they're all happily fed and asleep, uncover Boaz's legs and lie down and then do what he says. There are just so many ways for this to go wrong. I'm sure you can think of most of them yourself. What if she gets caught? What if she gets abducted at nighttime on the way? This is the time of the judges. What if someone takes advantage of her? What if Boaz takes advantage of her? What if he gets the wrong idea? What is the idea, Naomi? This is a crazy plan. And there's only one thing going for it. The people carrying out the plan are people of character. Naomi trusts in the character of Ruth to do what is right. Naomi trusts in the character of Boaz to do what is right. Ruth trusts in the character of Boaz to do what is right. So Ruth does what Naomi suggests. Verse 6. "So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Just so happened to be at the accessible end. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. 'Who are you?' he asked. 'I'm your servant Ruth,' she said. 'Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer.'" Which, when translated, means, "Please marry me. You are someone who could legally do that, and Naomi and I need it. Please marry me. Please spread the corner of your garment over me. Like you said before, the Lord has spread His protective wings over me. Please marry me, Boaz. I know that it's unusual for me to ask. I am a foreigner. I am a woman. Women don't ask men to marry them. I am not in your class right now. I've been working in your fields, but we need you. Please marry me. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." Now we know what would happen next if this was Samson who found Ruth at his feet, don't we? But this is not Samson. This is Boaz. And he's a man of character. Listen to his amazing response. Verse 10. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness, chesed, is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. You've chosen me. And you've been thinking not just of yourself, but of Naomi and what she needs." Verse 11. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman," what does it say? "Of noble character." Boaz amazingly says yes to Ruth's proposal. The crazy thing about Naomi's crazy plan is that it works. And the reason he says yes is because he knows that Ruth is a woman of noble character. Ruth was a Proverbs 31 woman hundreds of years before Proverbs 31 was ever written. Or at least 100 years. She was a woman of integrity. She was a woman of understanding. She was a woman who chose correct behavior. She was a woman committed to her needy mother-in-law when she could have been vying for a young, handsome buck of a husband herself. She was a woman characterized by chesed. And Boaz saw in her his equal. I'm a woman. I'm a man of character. You're a woman of character. Yes, I will marry you. Now, if this were a Hollywood movie, they would have tumbled into the bushes and had hot sex right then. But these were two people with good character, and they saved the sex for where it belongs, after the wedding. If there would be a wedding. Because there's one more complication. It's not so easy as all of that. Verse 12. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there's a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning. My guess is neither of them sleeps all night. And I don't think Naomi's sleeping back home. But got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. A man of character. He will get the job done. Now, Naomi and Ruth only had to wait a day. In fact, the day is dawning, and it's going to be today that they'll find out what happens. But we are going to have to wait a week to see what happens next. We can see here what happens when two godly people act with godly character. They do the right thing, even when it is hard. Are you and I men and women of character, integrity, righteousness, with godly quality to our hearts? God wants to build character in us so that we learn to do the right thing, to make the right choices, and to build a good reputation. I long for our church to be known as a loving family of generous, compassionate people of godly character.